Well, we praise God, amen, for all the good things he's done and what he's done here today. I'm going to preach now some things that are very important, and we thank God for all your testimonies, how he, amen, took you out of sin, got you saved, and hallelujah, and took care of you. And praise God. Some of us, amen, God gave us, all of us, really, gave us the right husband. Thank you, Jesus, and the right wife. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And, amen. But I'm going to preach today on something very serious. And a lot of preachers preach on it, even though I touch on it. I've been preaching now the last several times. Channel 10, I noticed for some reason they repeated that one, but that's okay. But the great judgment day. Hallelujah. Amen. Because people can't hear that too often and too much. But I'm going to preach about the most thing that was preached by Jesus was about hell. Of all the preachers that are in the Bible and all the prophets and all the things, Jesus had more to say about hell than anything. Any other person. I won't say any other thing because he expounded on many things. Amen. And God, Jesus touched on everything. He touched on compassion, how to love your wife, amen, how to live, how to love your neighbor, love your brother, and all those things. Amen. But he also preached on hell, and we can't leave it out. God is very important. It's where you go if you don't be saved. And there's lots of room in hell. And it's been there a long time, and it'll be there for an even longer time more. It's not going away, and people have to come to grips with it. What's happening in the world today is most people are made to feel okay and comfortable. And through our custom and traditions, you know, we have funerals, and we lay people to rest. Amen. And we have a funeral burial ceremony, which is fine. It's good and decent things that we should do in the land, amen. Because we're not heathen, amen. We do the right things. But I can't judge who's going to heaven or who's going to hell. I can't, that's not for me to do. My job is to preach the truth and warn people today that there is a hell. Everyone knows there's a heaven. Every religion preaches that there is a heaven. But I'll say this with the authority of God's word. I wouldn't go outside of God's word. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we can be saved except through the name of Jesus. Amen? So I would say to all the other religions, I love you, but this is my love. You can't make it, amen, unless you confess to the name of Jesus. Jesus died that agonizing death on the cross of Calvary that all men could be saved and they could be delivered from hell. You say, why is there hell? That is none of my business. I just believe the word of God. I don't try to analyze those things. In the beginning was the word, and this is part of the word. God created all things in the beginning. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of all things, and a part of that is a hell. And but he made a way out for people to the cross of Calvary. And it's not a difficult thing. But instead of that today, now people try to downplay hell. Amen. And bring all the world into religion. And they want to use the name of Jesus. They want to have like a God. They want to have a God figure to believe that somehow they're going to make heaven without, you know, in some cases, without even the name of Jesus. Amen. And just want to just eradicate hell and say there is no hell. But there is a hell. And if you believe in the Bible and you believe in the Word of God, you have to believe what it has to say. So that's what I'm here for today. To warn you that are asleep. Amen? That are asleep. Hallelujah. I preached to a man in Africa. You know, hell is hot. And it's not a place just being separated from God. It's a place of eternal torment. Amen? And fire. Where Jesus talked about where the worm dies not, and there's no quenching of the fire. And Paul talked about this eternal punishment. But I preached to a man in Africa when I was down there, a couple of people in my life, and very sobering, and you know, I know one man in particular, I preached to him in Ontario. He was my next door neighbor and he lived across the road, and I went over and I preached to him. I said, you know, you don't know how long you have to live. I felt compulsion to go over and talk to the man because, you know, I just felt and obeyed the Holy Spirit, and I went over and talked to him. I used to see him working in his garage every day, and I didn't know the man, just waved my hand from time to time. And I went over and I began talking to him, and I said, one thing led to another, and he was there doing some welding and that, and I got into the gospel and began preaching to him and asked him about his soul. I said, are you saved? And he said, no, I'm not saved. But do you believe in God? Do you believe in salvation? I think I said something like, when you get on your bed at night, do you not think about God and about Jesus Christ, amen, and where you're going to go when you die? Do you ever think about that? No, he said, I don't bother to think about it. I forget every word he said. Now, it was quite a few years ago, but he made so light of it. He said, you know, I just die and that's all there is to it. No more to it than that. So I said, no, I said, there's more to it than that. There's a heaven and there's a hell, and you must be saved. And there's only one way you can escape the damnation of hell, and that's through Jesus Christ. And I preached to many people like that in my life. But this is one in particular. Amen. I remember. And I went to work the next morning. The next morning I went to work. And I come home from work. I was working then, working with my hands. And I came home and hallelujah. When I got home, looked out my window, there was the ambulance in the driveway. And they were carrying that man away. He was dead. He died that day. Hallelujah. Where is he today? There's only one place. Amen. So I don't judge people I know around, and even in this town or wherever I travel or wherever I go, who's in hell, really, I don't know for sure, because God is the last person that deals with a person, and do they have time to repent or anything like that? How could I say that this person is in hell or someone else, you know, is not in hell? That's up to God. But I know one thing. I know one thing for sure, amen, that there will be many people in hell today as they hear the sound of my voice. Amen. And there'll be people there that think they're saved. There'll be here, there's people that are church people. There'll be ministers in hell. There'll be pastors in hell. Amen. There'll be popes in hell. There'll be rulers of nations. There'll be kings in hell. There'll be queens in hell. It's been happening, amen, since the beginning. Hell's mouth has been enlarged. And it's one of the things, the deterrents that God put there, amen, for people. Now, where are you going to go today? And as I just said earlier, people are made to feel good, because when they go to a funeral or anything like that, you know, and I'm not a judge, but everybody, no matter what, if they die as a sinner or if they die as a saved person, whatever it may be, they're kind of made to feel that they're okay, you know, that you're going to heaven no matter what, even without salvation. And I've been there, I've attended funerals, and I've known the people that have not been saved. And I've listened sometimes to the ceremony, and very rarely, maybe on one or two occasions, I've heard people, ministers, speak up. For the most part, it's been people that are made to feel comfortable. Amen. Because that's, what other time should you not preach, amen, these things when you're at a funeral with people? Hallelujah. They're made to feel comfortable, and in the land there's that spirit, well, you know, if I'm going to die, the minister is just going to shake some ashes over me and everything is going to be okay. No. Amen. You have to be saved. I can preach this, and the bottom line with it is, you must be saved and to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be delivered from hell. Amen. You must have that assurance in your heart. And even I believe there's some people that probably go around, amen, and confess sometime or in the past that they were saved, but yet they never lived right for Jesus. Amen. Where will they be? I don't see, as I read the Bible, there's no guarantee. You have to live right and do the will of God. Because why would Jesus say, many will come unto me in that day and say, you know, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in thy name, done many wonderful good works in thy name. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Hallelujah. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. The mystery of all these things. And there was another man in Africa, I was preaching to him, preaching, all you've got to get saved, you've got to get saved. Well, he says, I don't feel like getting saved, you know. I believe that a person should be led by the Spirit. He knew the scripture. No, I said, you need to get saved because you know about it up here in your brain. You've heard, you need to bend your knee and get down and get saved. Well, he said, I can't do it, he said, because, you know, as many as, you know, I got to feel. In other words, he had to feel right about doing it. I said, you know, you could die, amen, with that feeling, I said, and you could go to hell. It wasn't long I heard the news. Amen. The man went into a, he had never confessed Jesus. And the man went into a paralytic stroke and he couldn't speak. Amen. And he died upon his deathbed. Amen. Tried to speak, but he couldn't speak. Hallelujah. I don't know. Even for that, I don't know. But what I'll say to you, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because everybody got a mind. And they can talk to God through their mind. So I don't know. I'll just tell you, they're a sinner friend, amen, you backslidden, probably church person, you know, don't be so sure, amen, that someone else can put you in heaven, because they can't. It's between you and your God, and there's going to come a day, appointed time, when we all die. It's appointed on the man once to die, and then it's the judgment. So we, as I preached the last time, that you can't call for anyone else. You can't call for your lawyer. You're going to be between yourself and God, and that's it. Amen. And once you die, and that's the end of it. Now, on this side, we must get right with God. Even people, amen, that were raised in religious institutions and in churches, are you truly, truly saved? Are you truly living the way you ought to be? Are you living in some kind of a false hope because you're living amongst people that are trying to make you feel comfortable in your sin? You have to be saved. You have to confess Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And then you must get up and do the will of God. And then you must suffer persecution. Amen? And if you're not suffering persecution, you're not living right. Praise God. And Luke in chapter 16. This is the... hallelujah, one of the most... strong scriptures that would speak out about hell, how clear it is, and how Jesus spoke it very plainly. In Luke 16 and verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And that means he lived a life of luxury. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I believe the beggar was saved. I believe, hallelujah, Jesus was using the analogy of a person that was saved, even though he was a beggar. You're living the life that he was. You had to be calling on God every day. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Do you notice this? Amen. He was buried. Hallelujah. So his body was buried. He was buried. And then the next verse, 23, says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. So his body was buried, and the next moment he was in hell. A reality. Look, can you imagine looking all around and all of a sudden, here you are in hell. Amen? But the thing about it today, amen, is the devil got a kind of a thing out there now that he causes people, amen, to feel a false sense of security by having these corrupted institutions out there that are supposed to be standing for the Word of God and preaching the fire and the Word of God and causing people to be saved, to be truly baptized with the Holy Ghost, and to live a pure and a holy life. Now what the devil got it now, amen? He's got the land full of these different denominations and institutions, and people come out of these Bible schools, amen, and lead people into salvation, so to speak, or to feel that being a part of their church are okay, or being confirmed, amen, or have a communion or whatever it may be, that they're okay and they're going to go to heaven, amen. But I'm here today to preach the truth. That is not enough. You must truly be saved. You truly must repent. You truly must turn around. You must truly turn your life around, amen, unto the Lord Jesus Christ and continue in his word. Then you will be his disciple. Then you will go forward and be what you need to be. Hallelujah. Most of the institutions now, amen, and I got to preach this, this is a part of it, amen, because people are streaming into these places, amen, week by week, month by month, year by year, and they're going into institutions, amen. I don't know if they have altar calls anymore or do those things, amen. Some places I dare say they do. And people are saying they're saved and they're going in these places, amen. And I look at, amen, what they're doing in these churches and they're saying they're saved when they're supposed to be doing the will of God, and they're setting up institutions for people, amen, to become twofold what? Twofold more the child of hell than they are themselves. You pastors out there, amen, that are supposed to be preaching the truth. You ministers that are supposed to be preaching the truth and standing up for his right. You're more worried about your denomination. Hallelujah. And now they got churches now you don't even have to be married. You have churches now you can marry a man, you marry a man. And a woman can marry a woman. And so come and sit in the church. Hallelujah. And they got places now, instead of having prayer places and things they have for people to go and pray, amen, they build, what do they build? They build places where you're going to have recreation and fun, amen, all summer, amen. Hallelujah, be camping out and doing all those things, bring those things into churches so to make people feel comfortable. What we need to be, amen, is turn off the television sets, shut down the computers, get on our face before God, and begin to live a holy life, amen. The gates of hell, amen, are all around us. We're living in a land now that's rampant with sin. Anything goes, rioting, amen, fighting in the streets, all those things. And people are out there, amen, you know, they're out there, amen. It's kind of, I won't say it's humorous, because it's not humorous, amen. They're talking about hate, you know, love and hate. One crowd is out for love, and the other crowd is out for hate, amen. And amen, one hates the other, amen. They all hate the other. They're out fighting in the streets and say they're standing for love, amen. Then they get on the television, and they get the pundits on there arguing back and forth, and they're at one another's throat, amen, as they interview them on television, full of hate, one hating the other and one with the other one speak. But I'm here for love, amen. What love? There's only one love, and he died upon the cross of Calvary, amen, 2,000 years ago, and he gave his life, and he agonized upon the cross. What are you doing up there, amen, all you people, fighting for your rights on the streets and all those things? Amen? God is in no such thing as that. Amen? God is not in any such thing as that. Hallelujah. What they need to do, amen, the black people in America, amen, to do like they done in the earlier years, to get on their face and pray and call upon God, and God will take care of the things that they need to be taken care of. No man ever yet had to take up violence and go protesting to get any from God. God is well able to make things come to pass. Hallelujah. He that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Amen. You're not supposed to use any type of violence as a Christian that way for those matters and in those things. Hallelujah. Because whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed. Amen. He's free indeed. Hallelujah. People are trying to live by the Constitution of America. You know, having the right, I mean, all men are created equal and have the right to pursuit of liberty, life, liberty, and happiness. Amen. These things, as Thomas Jefferson said, these things are self-evident, that all men should be. We're not created equal. The only way you're created equal, amen, is when you're born again. And then you have all the power of this word of God on your side. Until then, amen, you're a sinner on your way to hell. Amen. Thomas Jefferson, he didn't even believe in the Bible. He only picked the parts that he meant for human rights. He only picked out the parts that would cause him, amen, to the elite, humanistic reasoning, and you know, the high elite and intellectualism and all those things. He didn't mind those things in the Bible, and he made this Declaration of Independence, which was made, amen, you know, hallelujah, for, you know, because you want to break away from Britain, amen. But, amen, the good thing about it, some of the people of the day have got a hold of that, amen, the black people and the minorities and all these people, they saw these things, but when they wrote that, that was not for them, a bunch of hypocrites. They didn't care about the black people. They didn't even recognize the black men. Hallelujah. back in the 1790 when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. And when they tried to get free, amen, they tried to put him down because it was money. Hallelujah. They were losing their slaves for cotton. Amen. Hallelujah. So then, but it was too late. Amen. He had written this thing, and the right people wasn't written for that time, but it was written for the right people later on who get a hold of it. Amen. And God would eventually set them free. But a man is not set free, amen, until you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Because we're not built upon the foundation of Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, the founding fathers, as they call it in America. We're built upon the founding fathers, amen, of the apostles, the 12 apostles, and the ones that wrote the Bible, wrote the word of God, Paul, Peter, and James, amen, and Jesus Christ to be the chief cornerstone. We're built upon that foundation. And whom the sun sets free is free indeed. And I don't care if I'm in communist China. I don't care if I'm in North Korea. I don't care where I am, amen, hallelujah. I am saved and full of the glory of God. And I'm saved and I'm ready for heaven. And I don't need any other constitution. And the Bible and the word of God is on my side. Hallelujah. That's what people in heaven, I'm getting off the track of it, amen. Teach you about hell today. So, you out there, amen, sinner, you don't want to go into the torments of hell. It's a place of torment. It's a place of torment. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can get out of it is to be saved. And if you, amen, see someone like me, a Holy Ghost-filled person, amen, and you say, well, I can't go to that church, amen, they're too holy, and you try to pretend you get saved somewhere else, amen, hallelujah, I know where you're going. It's only a lie. You must be saved and stand up for the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hell is full of people. Amen. The straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And few to be that find it. Amen. So I preach these things today that, amen, that people will get their mind on where they are. And get their mind on what they're doing. All the people out there with their self-righteous religions. Amen. Hallelujah. And you have all your parties and all your sensualism. Now you're getting ready. As I get ready now, I'm going into Africa soon, amen, and I'll think about, you know, when I'm down there, all the people up here in December, November, December, amen, spending all their money and their lavishness and Christmas and all this stuff, amen. You're not going to heaven. You're not being saved, you know, celebrating and worshiping a baby Jesus. You have to worship the one that came out of the grave. And now as this season comes upon you again, and a lot of people say to me, why don't you just stop preaching Christmas and the abominations of Christmas? I won't stop it because it's not found in the Bible. It's not found in the Word of God. It's not found in the foundation of the apostles. It's not found anywhere. It was brought in by the devil, amen, in the 3rd century by Constantine, the Roman emperor that day, and to get something that the people will love so they can celebrate and bring in Yuletide and paganism and all that. And we've tried to put it into something and try to say it's the Lord's birthday when he had nothing to do with it. It's too corrupted to even talk about. Amen? Jesus don't need us to remember his birthday, and they're not even sure of it anyway. No one even really knows the exact day, and he's not even interested. What he needs to know is the day he came out of the grave. Amen. The day that we need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The day that we need to be saved. And on the King's highway, he cared less, amen, about a fleshy birthday. But all of you now, amen, you will get into that. And you'll spend money upon money upon it. And you'll sear your conscience, amen. You'll knit a few socks. Hallelujah. Hell is hot. Hell is hot. I say hell is hot, and there'll be millions of people like that in hell crying out. Thank you, Jesus, because Jesus said this. He says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Hallelujah. And I'll preach this message believing, amen, that God, my Father in heaven, will be happy. One day, amen, I'll see the reward, which I believe will be people saved, or whatever it may be, the created body of believers on the face of the earth, and there'll be no turning back, because we're living in perilous times. And the most corrupted thing in the world today now is false religion. Religion is trying to say they have Jesus. The false Jesus is out there now in all these churches and all these denominations professing to know God. But in works, they deny him. In works, they deny him. So my people, hallelujah, my friends, I should say, my friends, amen, today, if you're saved today and you've got Jesus Christ in you, you need to begin to start thinking about not only, amen, what your salvation was yesterday, but But what are you doing today, and where are you going in the future? Because hell is hot, and when you get there, amen, it don't want to change anything. If you've been doing the wrong thing, and part of the wrong thing, and doing the wrong thing in your life, is no good. You have heard the truth, and you will hear the truth. God will move upon his people, amen. He'll let them know the truth. If you want to be delivered from hell, you must get saved, and you must live a holy life in the name of Jesus. Amen.